Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
Here's what I want us to take out the door this morning from the message that God has laid on my heart for this series that we've been in, Holy Night. Listen, friend, Jesus has come to bring us peace within. Why? Because He Himself has made peace between us and God. Amen? You know, the message of peace in the midst of chaos, you know, Christmas is a season that is characterized by sacred waiting and deep reflection. It's a time when the church, I think, intentionally or should slow its pace to gaze backward and also forward. You know, we look back to the first coming of Jesus on that holy night in Bethlehem, and then we look forward to the promise of His second coming when He will restore all things to their intended glory. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait until that happens. Amen? You know, Christmas highlights, I think, four great things that in this series that we are looking at, of this sacred time that we celebrate. And those things are, number one, hope. Number two, peace. Number three, joy. And number four, love. And so last week we began this journey. We discussed the topic of hope, which, by the way, serves as a reminder that absolutely nothing is impossible with God. And as we reflected on how God fulfilled the promises that were made through the prophets by bringing forth child through a young virgin in Nazareth, the first Christmas still, I believe, instills in us hope, the hope that God is faithful. And I want you to know today, my friend, that God will always keep His word. Amen? Amen. He will always keep His promises, no matter how improbable the circumstances of life may seem. Now, this morning we arrive at the second great theme of Christmas, and that is peace. Last week was hope. This week is peace. Next week we'll look at joy, and we'll also look at His love on the fourth week. And so, you know, to help us visualize this piece, I think, here vividly, we turn once again to a Christmas episode. And I want to say thank you to those of you that did come on Sunday evening to take the time to be able to watch about a 50-minute clip of The Chosen, Holy Night. I think that they did a great job in kind of portraying, and it goes right along with what God has given me for this series. And so we're going to turn back to that holy night. That's where we, by the way, I borrowed or derived the series, the name for the series, Holy Night. But in this sermon series, we're delving into the angelic messages surrounding the birth of Christ. And last week, the message was directed to Mary, and it was emphasizing that nothing is impossible with God. But today, the message that we're going to that the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you, I think it reaches a very different audience. We're going to see today that it's a small group of shepherds who are keeping watch over their flock during the night. And their humble circumstances, I believe, serve to highlight the contrast between societal expectations and the divine choice that's made by God. So let's take just a moment here in the way of introduction tonight, and let's look here at the social rejection of the shepherds. You know, when I say today, and I want to get the points up here on the screen so that y'all can write these down, Number one, I want us to write down today the plight of the shepherds. In other words, rejected and reduced. That's what I want us to look at. But when I use that word plight, some of you may not know what that means, but I want to share what it means. It means a dangerous or a complex or even an unfortunate situation. And that's what we just seen in the video there, right? And so you can almost feel the weight of loneliness, I think, that begins to envelop on those shepherds in the scene that was just witnessed. And so while the filmmakers, I think, they took all these creative liberties, and Brother Hull and I talked a little bit about this the other night, they also conducted, I think, a thorough research compared to a lot of films to accurately portray the historical context. And so the reality is that the shepherd's life is far from romantic. If you know anything at all about shepherds, if you study shepherds, it's not a romantic life. It was rugged. It was filled with hardships. Throughout the first century, the shepherds, they occupied a position near the bottom of all of the social hierarchy, often marginalized and even overlooked. And so imagine living a life that is seen just like what we just seen on the video. When they went and they approached that well there for water, think about this, others would pull back. And as we seen there in the video, as they step into the marketplace, customers will turn away. And you'll see that as I'll show that video in just a moment. But in all this turn of events here, my friends, these are the very people that God chooses. Think about who God chooses. God chooses these to be the first recipients of the joyous gospel announcement. You know, this divine choice, I think it speaks volumes about God's priorities for His heart and for the marginalized. In other words, those that may not be on the social platform like many people are. And so there's several things I want us to look at here. First of all, their lowly position. As we think about the plight of these shepherds, how they were rejected and reduced. Look in our text this morning in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Now, the message of the Messiah does not first reach the priests or reach the kings. It comes to those who are often overlooked. And this divine strategy, I think, here, it somewhat underscores the truth that God's glory begins when human pride ends, right? In other words, and this was said in Sunday school today, you and I, we shouldn't be taking credit for anything. We ought to be giving God all the credit. Amen? And so we see that, and I think that's a powerful reminder that humility that lies in the heart of the gospel. And also we see here their lingering pain. Can you fathom all of the internal struggles that these men face daily? Think about the nights that they had sitting beneath the vast expanse of stars, which is beautiful, by the way. But think about that, grappling with the feelings that they may have had in their lives of being insignificant and pondering the questions. And here are questions I think that those shepherds may have asked. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're asking some of the same questions. Things like, do I matter? Or does anyone see me? You know, their lives, they were shrouded with constant dismissal, surrounded by whispers that maybe echoed sentiments of worthlessness. You know, things that were maybe like, you're nothing, you're nobody, you're dirty, you're forgotten. You know, today I believe a lot of kids are treated like that in the marketplace. But isn't this the battle that resonates, if we really want to be honest, with many of us in our lives? You know, while we may not tend to sheep, every one of us that are sitting in this room this morning, we carry our own burdens. And we have our own secrets. We have things that we don't share with other people. And I'm not talking about, you know, something that's bad. I'm talking about something that bothers us that we never tell anyone else. And we all have that. We have our own wounds. We have our own insecurities. We talked about insecurities and fear in Sunday school today. And those are things that weigh heavily on our hearts. And you know, the loneliness that these shepherds experience, I think that it serves as a mirror that's reflecting our own and our lives, the struggles that we go through each and every day, the rejection and the invisibility that takes place in each of our lives. And so each of us in this room, I think we have felt that at some point in life, that sting of rejection and at some point. And so we've all faced the quiet ache, if you will, of being unseen, and also leading us to wonder if God indeed has passed us by. Now, I know that a lot of people like the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," but let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't pass nobody by.
Amen.
I don't care what the lyrics of the song say. That lyrics are somewhat wrong on that part. Jesus will not pass you by. And I want you to know right now, the good news is that Christmas begins precisely in the place of forgetfulness, forgottenness, as it tells the story of a Savior, King Jesus, who sees and who cares for all of them, those whom society chooses to ignore. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Now, for those shepherds, I want to tell you, their plight was extended beyond mere social rejection. What we observed just a moment ago was the tip of an iceberg, I believe. And so, the rejection, one that penetrated beyond social perceptions and reached into the very depths of their souls. I want us to look now at another quick video clip here. Of the spiritual rejection, if you will. We see number two, for those of you taking notes. We see here the problem of sin, and that is ruined and reproached. I want to explain what I mean. You know, the broken becomes the beneficiaries of heaven's peace. And you know, in the eyes of these religious leaders, like we just seen, and I can only imagine how rude and disrespectful the Pharisees were, and many of the religious leaders in this time, the shepherd's lint became a symbol of sin. His scar, you know, it showed there just a moment ago, a testament of spiritual failure, and his poverty evidenced of divine displeasure. Yet I want to say this about all of it. The reality is even more sobering. It's more liberating than this narrative suggests. It's not only that the shepherds who stood spiritually unclean, I want to tell you right now, it's not just about them. It's about every one of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just be real honest for a minute. The separation that is caused by sin is not exclusive to them. It's not exclusive just to a shepherd. Listen, I want you to know it encompasses all of humanity, and that includes me, and that includes you. Amen. And so I want to say just a couple of things about this today. First of all, the reality of sin. The scriptures are unyielding in their declaration of this truth. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned. You know what all means? That means me and that means you. All have sinned, and guess what? Have come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Not only that, the Bible says that there is none, no, not one, righteous. And so sin is not merely a bad action that we commit. It represents a brokenness that's inerrant to our nature. It is rebellion against God's authority. It is a conflict that is waged against His holiness. And listen, this rebellion, I'll tell you exactly where it started. You can go all the way back in your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, to the very beginning, and you can see right there in the Garden of Eden that it reverberates, if you will, through every single human heart. What took place in that garden affects you and I today. And listen, God is just. I want you to know that about God. He must judge sin. Any just God has to judge sin. There's only one God that is just, and that's the God that we serve.
Amen.
And listen, the reason He has to do that is because
I want you to know it brings destruction to everything that he loves if he don't take care of the sin problem. His holiness, you know what it does? It demands accountability. And his justice, it enforces consequences to our actions, to any actions. You know, the Pharisee that was shown on the video there, if you watch that closely, he was correct in asserting that sin separates. But I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, he was gravely mistaken in believing that it separates only the shepherds. It don't just separate the shepherds. He was wrong in his religious thought. That he thought he was almighty and all proud in what he was doing, right? He's a good old guy. Let me tell you right now, it separates us all.
Amen, brother.
And then we see the requirement of sacrifice. You know, the Pharisee spoke there for the need of a lamb that was without blemish. We read about that in the Bible, the perfect lamb. You know, this is a principle that's rooted in Scripture, as Exodus chapter 12 in the Bible mandates that only a spotless lamb can serve as an offering. And so, however, that Pharisee, guess what he did? He failed to comprehend that it's no ordinary lamb could ever fully atone for sin.
Amen, brother.
It doesn't matter how spotless that lamb is. It would never fully atone for our sin.
Amen.
And so Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4 such states unequivocally, it says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So that's exactly why I know that it can never fully atone for our sin. It's because God's word says that it won't.
Amen.
Listen, only a perfect Savior, none other than King Jesus, amen, without sin and blemish could fulfill that requirement. And that's why John the Baptist, remember him? John the Baptist would later point to Jesus and he would proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world."
Amen.
Listen, this is the peace that as we think about Christmas, it brings. And this is a peace that's not achieved through any human effort or merit, but it is a peace that is made possible by divine intervention and provision. And also there's the reflection of the shepherd. And as the scene draws to a close, we see the shepherd nursing a wound right on his arm. But we need to understand that the wounds run deeper. Wounds that penetrate the soul run deeper than wounds that you see.
Amen.
And Judy, I wish that you would put up those heads trembers. I mean, look. I mean, if you want to, I mean, it's everybody. I knew that was going to happen. We'll take this off. Everybody here's wearing Band-Aids. I think the drugstore's out of Band-Aids in Cleveland because everybody at Eastview's bought Band-Aids. I'm just going on. It's that time of the year. For me, it's psoriasis. But, you know, no matter what our wounds are, especially those that penetrate to the heart, and that's what I'm talking about here, not wounds on the hand or fingers, even though I'm praying for you. That's the beauty of where the gospel shines. Amen?
Amen?
And so Jesus came for the broken and Jesus came for the wounded. And Isaiah 61:1 says, "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, it promises, "By his stripes we are healed."
Amen.
Listen, while you may not be a shepherd, and I don't know that anybody is in here, we got some farmers, but I don't know about shepherds. I want you to know you are undeniably human. Every one of us are. And so every human bears the limp, right? We all do, of sin. And guess what? We also have in our lives the wound of guilt.
Amen.
And deep within our hearts, there may be a whisper that's going on that insists there's no way forward. Maybe today you're sitting here and you're thinking, there's no way that I can move forward at all. But yet during this Christmas that we're celebrating, this season, listen, God responds to your whisper that you have today with a resounding declaration from heaven, peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
Yes.
Let's look at our passage of Scripture here this morning. The Bible reads in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, And I'll read through verse 15. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice it says all people. You may want to underline that, because that means you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I love this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We see here number three this morning, the last thing I want us to look at, is the peace of the Savior redeemed and restored. We see that here. You know, the outcast becomes the subject of God's favor. How fitting it is for the first people to hear the proclamation of peace on earth were people or men who had never experienced any peace in their lives whatsoever. You know, the message of the Messiah, it's not reserved just for the elite. It's for everyone. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you live at on planet Earth or where you were born at. Listen, friend, peace announced to the unworthy. We see that. The angels did not begin their message with condemnation. Instead, guess what? They were commenced with comfort. It says in the Bible, fear not. You know, heaven breaks through the darkness, not with a blooming voice or a booming voice, but with a gentle invitation of hope.
Yeah, amen.
And God is communicating here to the shepherds, and not only to them, but to each one of us. And listen, I want to tell you today, my friend, you're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. I want you to know you are favored. You know, the message they received is one of peace. Not the fragile peace, if you will, in the politics, or the fleeting peace that's out there derived from all the possessions that people have. And we're blessed, we have a lot, right? But it's the eternal peace that comes from reconciliation with God. The Bible says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. This is not some wishful thinking. It's a profound truth. And I want you to know it is accomplished by a divine intervention. It's not peace if men behave, but rather it's peace because God Himself has intervened in history.
Amen.
And it's peace that's achieved through the incarnation. The baby that lying in the manger in Bethlehem, as we all know, would eventually hang on a cross at Calvary. The one who was wrapped in the swaddling clothes that we read and think about and we celebrate this Christmas would one day be enveloped in burial clothes. But yet, praise God, His death and resurrection, He would accomplish the monumental task of establishing peace between God and all of humanity.
Amen.
You know, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14 affirms, For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, the angel's song serves as a foretaste of the gospel because it creates a peace between God and man. Also, it brings peace within the human heart.
Amen.
Allowing you and I to experience wholeness. And then it's peace applied to the wounded. I want you to envision for just a moment as we wrap this up. The shepherds, they were dirty. They were dismissed, rushing to Bethlehem. They find the manger. They kneel before the newborn king. One shepherd, the one with the limp, we see in the video that he kneels close enough to witness Mary. And it puts an emphasis on the... And I know that's Hollywood uses different things, but I want to use that as an illustration to wrap this up. You know, the shame that once scarred him is now being gently undone, and it's by the gift of grace. The shepherd who believed he was unworthy to offer the lamb, he now stands before the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, and this resonates very deeply, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes we are healed."
Amen.
You know, the shepherd's battle has come to an end. The war within him is at peace. True peace has arrived. Peace between himself and the Creator. And peace within his own heart. You know, the angels declared peace on earth. That's not some hopeful wish, but it's an accomplished work. And it's signaling the arrival of Christ, heralded in a new era of reconciliation. This peace that we're talking about today is still accessible to every individual, particularly those who feel weary, wounded, and disconnected from God. So I want to encourage you to come to the manger this morning, just as you are, with all your wounds, all your worries, all your weariness, because the sacred space is where you will discover the same profound truth that resonated on that holy night. Listen, the invitation is open to all, regardless of any past experience or any current struggle that you currently have. There's a place for everyone, I want you to know, at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And here you'll find at the feet of Jesus the hope and the healing, alongside the message, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, this proclamation encapsulates the essence of Christmas. I believe it reminds us of the transformative power and faith and love. So as our musicians come forward, as we stand to our feet, if you're able, let the Holy Spirit of God have His way. Friend, you come to the manger.